Any of the visits. I never left. I didn't leave because I fell in love with this place. I didn't like it. I loved it. There is a significant difference. I met my amazing wife here. We raised our family. And I feel like I am the luckiest guy in the world because I found this community. And I share that with you because it underlies everything I think, say, and do, including my comments this morning. The first time I was in this church was probably 2 years ago, perhaps longer. Peg and I came as part of a large group of people who were here to start planning the arrival of the Syrian refugees. It was a magnificent evening. The church was overflowing. People were out the door. There was excitement everywhere. It was one of the highlights of my time in this community, and I'll never forget that. And I'm very happy to be back here again today. So my plan this morning is to briefly talk a little bit about Project Vision, a few things we've achieved, some of our challenges, and close with a few comments, and I'm certainly hoping that we'll have time for questions. I'd also like to begin with a caveat. Project Vision is a large organization. I'm just one voice, and the story that you're going to hear today from me is only my story. If someone else were here from Project Vision or from elsewhere in the community, you might hear a very different story. So please do not walk away saying, this is the official version of Project Vision. This is just my version. So as you probably know, Project Vision is a coalition of over 400 organizations, individuals, agencies, churches, schools, all who have come together to focus on making Rutland one of the healthiest, happiest, and safest communities in America. Isn't that a wonderful vision? It's really inspiring. We do that by focusing on three areas alone. We could have chosen 100 things, but we decided if we're going to be successful, we needed to focus. Those three areas are law enforcement, community health with a focus on preventing and treating substance abuse, and building great neighborhoods. Each of those areas has a large committee that works on those things. They also have a person who chairs the committee to help facilitate their work. We are guided by two fundamental values. One is collaboration for the greater good, and the second is an unshakable belief in our community and its future, and I will come back to those in a moment. We came together in 2012 in response to the heroin epidemic affecting our community, and at the time we were roundly criticized for so publicly talking about and embracing the scourge of addiction. We are a community-driven organization. We have no formal authority at all. We have no rules. We have no regulations. We don't have bylaws. We don't have a board of directors. And we don't have a budget. I repeat, we don't have a budget. Commander Matt Prouty of the Rutland Police Department leads the Vision Center on the second floor of the Police Department. He also serves as our executive director, as did Scott Tucker, his predecessor. At the same time, we are not accountable to any elected or appointed individual or organization, despite the fact that they are all absolutely critical to our success. Because we have no central authority and no money, everything we do is directed, controlled, and resourced by our various members. That is not always the most efficient way of proceeding, but it has worked pretty well for us so far. We meet the second Thursday of every month at the Alliance Community Church in the Howe Center. The meeting begins at noon and ends at 1:30. We provide no food, and despite that fact, every month we get somewhere between 50 and 80 people showing up. It's really quite amazing. The other part of it that I find really inspirational is that every month new people show up. And that really keeps the group energized and helps to keep us going. And of course, there are no invitations sent. The door is a church. The doors are never locked. Anyone and everyone is welcome to attend. And we get a lot of characters. And we welcome characters. So we've had a few successes in the last few years. And I'd like to talk about four of them. And again, others might characterize what they view as success differently, but this is just my point of view. As you probably know, we have spent a great deal of effort working in the city's northwest neighborhood. It is by far the city's largest, with over 4,000 residents, and probably its most challenged. We are seeing really significant change there. So you can ask the question, how do you measure change in a community? There are several ways. First, we're seeing a lot more young individuals and young families buying homes there or duplexes. This is really encouraging because it's different when you buy a home versus a renter. We have a lot of renters in that neighborhood and we're hoping to have a greater percentage of home ownership there. We're making strides in that area. Also, if you drive around the Northwest neighborhood, you can see it's a very different looking place than it used to be. Neighbors are painting their houses, putting up new siding, cutting their grass. You see a transformed neighborhood. In addition, if you look at real estate prices, you'll see that for the first time in a decade, prices are starting to go up. Now you might ask, why does that matter at all? It really matters because when we started investing in that neighborhood and we put in over $1 million to work through 11 abandoned homes, the hope was that we could arrest the fall in real estate values and create an incentive for both the local homeowners and others to invest in that community. So we wouldn't need to use federal or state money to do that, but have local capital, people who live there, invest. And we're starting to see that change. So it's very, very encouraging for us. The more important change, though, isn't real estate values. The most important change is in the way the members of that neighborhood view their community. 4 years ago, NeighborWorks of Western Vermont, one of our greatest partners, did a door-to-door sampling and questionnaire of virtually the entire neighborhood. And they published the results of that survey. The results were depressing, they were dismal, demoralizing, and entirely predictable. 3 years later, they did the same survey, went knocking at every single door with a small army of people. The results were very different. For the first time, the majority of the residents viewed law enforcement as a friend and an asset to the neighborhood. And for the very first time ever, the majority of the residents viewed their neighborhood favorably, going so far as to say that they were recommended to their friends and family. This was an astounding turnaround for that neighborhood, and in only 3 years. It took our breath away. We thought it was going to take a decade. Not that we've completed the process, we've come a long way, and we have a long ways to go. The second achievement deals with law enforcement. Our police department was once a source of embarrassment for so many reasons. It is now an entirely different place. And for me, and I'm hoping for the rest of our community, it is a source of pride. In particular, their efforts at partnering with social service agencies to help address the fundamental challenges of our neighborhood have received nationwide attention. early on in this process, our police department recognized that most of their calls for service, about 70% of their calls, have nothing to do with law enforcement or criminal activity. Nothing. They have everything to do with the social determinants of quality of life in the community. What's that? Domestic violence, poverty, substance abuse, mental illness. Well, the reality is there's nothing our police department or any police department can do about those things. So our police department did something simple and brilliant at the same time. They brought in the social service agencies who know how to deal with these issues and who can help solve them. So, if you were to go to the second floor of the police department, you would not find men and women in blue uniforms carrying sidearms. What you will find are mental health crisis workers, what you'll find are domestic violence specialists, various types of social workers. You'll even find representatives from the Southwest Council on Aging, because a high percentage of the calls for services from the police department involve the elderly. And it's probably only going to grow. So they decided to partner with everybody who can play a role in making things better. You might say, well, that's just obvious, Joe. It is, but you know how many other organizations in Vermont do that? None. And I know of no others in America who are doing it. It sounds really easy to do. Actually putting it into practice is much harder. And I give all the credit to the leadership of our police department. We should be very proud of what they've been able to achieve. Our third success. We are no longer demonizing addicts, and we have made it safe and easy for people with addiction issues to get the services they need. We've done that by having all of our service providers, and we have quite a few in this community, we're very fortunate in that regard, work together in new and different ways, and by the establishment of the Westridge Center in support of law enforcement. Support of law enforcement is again important because our police department views their job as helping people, not necessarily putting them in jail. Sometimes jail is the only option. Usually it's not the best. So when they arrest somebody for a drug offense or something related to that, they're looking to fix the problem, not just put them in jail. And that has made a significant difference. As a result, if you look at our crime statistics in the city of Rutland, virtually every category of crime is down, and significantly. Home break-ins, burglaries alone have been reduced by over 50%. And that happened very quickly. And the police department, God bless them, gives all the credit to the social service agencies, not to law enforcement. Lastly, and this is important, we help restore our sense of pride and hope for the future in this community. There is confidence that our best days lie ahead. So those are four wonderful successes. People say, well, how did you do that? I think the overarching reason is that we're part of an absolutely amazing community. I think many of us don't appreciate that, but it's certainly my point of view. We do things that most other communities do not think about doing, and we don't give ourselves credit enough for what we achieve. But there are specific reasons as well. At the outset, we had very strong leadership from Chief Jim Baker. Jim was the first to realize that we were not going to solve all our problems by arresting people, that we're going to have to involve the community and community service organizations if we're bring about meaningful and sustainable change. The hospital's willingness to establish the Westridge methadone clinic in the House Center was also very significant. That clinic has served over 400 individuals, and today there is zero waiting list So if you have a problem with addiction or a friend or a family does, you can get in there immediately, have complete wraparound service so that you have the best chance of ever getting back to a normal life for your friends and family as well. I don't think the hospital gets enough credit for what it's done there. We just take that institution for granted, and have the fact that it's served over 400 people has really transformed our community. Lastly, there's Carly Farrow's death in 2012. Her death galvanized this community and brought us together in ways we could never have imagined. Certainly I could never have imagined. So her death was not completely in vain. Her death did one other thing that was really important at the same time. It showed us the painful truth that our heroin problems, our addiction issues, were not the results of bad people coming from other places. Our problems, our challenges, were born and raised here. And if we were going to solve them, we had to take ownership of them. That was a significant transition for our community. Lastly, I'd like to talk a little bit again about our values, because they've made a major difference, in fact, a difference that we never even saw. The first, collaboration for the greater good, recognized the fact that while we had all these wonderful service providers in the community, they were working largely in silos. They didn't know the other organizations existed, they didn't talk, there was no transfer of services, people fell between the cracks all the time. We thought if we could fix that problem, if they could work together, that we could really deliver a much higher quality of service to the community. I like to say this is the one opportunity where 1 + 1 = 3. And we've made great strides in that area. We've broken down a lot of barriers, and we have a long ways to go as well. Our second value, I believe in Rutland, is also fundamental. Many Rutlanders tend to focus on our challenges and our shortfalls, while largely ignoring all the wonderful things that happen in this community and all of our amazing attributes. And others have taken note of our self-deprecating comments and have piled on. It was our belief that no individual, no organization, no community could grow or thrive if it did not believe in itself. We knew that we had to address this issue head on if we were to have any sort of success. So we agreed to a couple of things. We agreed that on a personal level, we would challenge people when they said inappropriate, pejorative things about this community. We banned the use of the term Rutfagus. We saw it as not reflecting love on us. And we all took personal responsibility to do that. It wasn't somebody else who's going to do it. We were going to do it. The other thing we did is we started talking about and celebrating all the amazing things this community has going for. I don't think, Peg and I have had the good fortune to travel a little. We've been to some amazing places, but of all the places we've been, this is by far the most amazing, and we are always the happiest when we return to this community. I'm happy to say that, you know, these efforts, I think, have taken root, and the way we talk about our community today is much different than the way it used to be. There is now, there's hope, there's faith, and with that, anything is almost possible. So we've been pretty successful, and I've shared with you the ways we've been successful, but we haven't, there's still a long ways to go. We have our challenges. What are some of those challenges? First, we have not been able to get the level of participation by members of the community and the neighborhood that we would have liked to. We've had some success. We've tried a bunch of different things. It hasn't really worked. It hasn't worked. And we're scratching our heads. So if anyone here has any thoughts on the matter, we would be welcome to hear. We would welcome that opportunity. Second, most of the project vision participants, we like to call them visionaries, look and sound a lot like you and me. They're middle-aged, let's call it. We would really like to have a lot younger participation because they bring a unique energy, and more importantly, they bring a unique point of view that's not always heard. And we're working on that. We've had some success. We have a ways to go. Lastly, this is the one that I really lose a lot of sleep over, is that we have been really fortunate to maintain a wonderful sense of momentum for the first 6 years. But organizations and endeavors have life cycles. And my fear is that we're not going to be able to maintain the same level of momentum doing the same things we've been doing for the last 6 years. We're going to have to find new and different ways to energize the endeavor in the community. And I'm not certain what those will be. We need to think about that. And again, if anyone had any recommendations, we would love to hear from you. So I'd like to close with a couple personal comments. The issues that we deal with the project vision are difficult, complex. They are not easily solved. They can be overwhelming. They can be depressing. This might lead you to believe that we are a somber and humorless endeavor. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We have fun. We have a great time. We laugh. We make fun of ourselves. When we are together, the room is filled with joy and hope, not sadness. And I think that has made a real difference in why we've been able to keep things going for as long as we have. People want to come because they feel good about the process, they feel good about themselves, and hopeful for the future. Also, so it's easy to talk about how this has affected the community and other people, but I would probably be cowardly if I didn't say that it's also affected me. I'm probably not as judgmental as I used to be. I'm still judgmental, just not as bad as I used to be. I'm probably more empathetic than I used to be. I now more fully recognize that things such as poverty and addictions are not simply the result of choices people make, or the result of bad decisions exclusively, or poor values. at the same time, I even more strongly than ever believe in the importance of personal choice and personal responsibility. And I believe that is ultimately the key to success, to being a better individual and a better community. And I think you have to look no further than Project Vision to see that. Everything we've accomplished, all the things I've mentioned, all came about because individuals decided they weren't going to sit there quietly and safely, thinking good thoughts and not doing a damn thing. They put themselves at risk. They took a chance, and they brought about meaningful change in our community. For me, those are my heroes, and that's the reason I enjoy being a part of Project Vision. So I'll conclude my comments there. I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.